Now, will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators or followers of God, as dear our beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for you as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Speak, Lord, in the stillness while we wait on thee. Hush our hearts to listen in expectancy. Speak, O blessed Master, in this hallowed hour. May we see your face, Lord, and feel your touch of power. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our living and reigning Lord. Amen. I don't know if you have ever had the experience, as especially a young Christian, asking yourself, what in the world has God left me here for, having saved me? What is the purpose of remaining here on earth? What does God have in mind? Why didn't he take me to heaven immediately when I became a Christian? I think St. Paul answers the question for us as we think of our text this evening. Because from here to eternity, God is in the process of making us like himself, making us like his son. We are all acquainted with Romans 8:28. And we can quote that for everything and anything, and perhaps rightly so. But I wonder if we have taken time to memorize or to investigate Romans 8:29 and 30 and 31. Because in Romans 8:29, we're told that the purpose that God is working all things together for is that you and I might be made into the image of his son. Now, that has never become so real to me as the present moment as I speak with you. I have never had a son. I never knew what it was to have someone bear my name or to carry the family name along until recently. And now I know what it is to look into the face of a little one and to see something of the resemblance of yours truly, and to realize that for better or for worse, whatever the child learns, he will become like his father. But there's something unique about that. Because it is true, or perhaps do you remember the time when we were little children? And the most important people to us was our dads. He was the one that could lick any Superman. He was the one that we wanted to emulate. He was the one who actually stood for something in us. And it's a tragedy today that fathers do not longer hold that place of eminence in the hearts of children, for better or for worse. But we have a heavenly father, and he is working through the process. St. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 that God is in the process of making us like his son. And you know what he's doing? He's taking out all the wrinkles and the spots. By the way, do you have any? Are there wrinkles that God has to remove? But there's something unique about our text, because he's telling us, this morning we were talking about what we do as a church to become an exciting church from 1 Thessalonians. Tonight we're talking about what we become to become an exciting person. And that is why we begin with therefore. Whenever you read the word therefore in the Bible, you always ask the question, what it is there for? Because St. Paul never tells us to become anything as believers unless he has gone before giving us the foundation. In all his works, you will see doctrine and then duty. You will see theology and then you will see expression of theology. Paul never tells us to do something without giving us the ground of foundation for doing so. And he has already set the stage in the first three chapters of Ephesians. And now he comes to chapter 5, having set the stage, and he says, therefore. If I were as brilliant as Francis Schaeffer, I would probably title this message tonight, how shall we then live? How shall we then live? When I was a teenager, the man that thrilled me the most in sports was Duke Snyder. How many of you remember Duke Snyder? Oh, I see a few hands around. How many of you don't know who Duke Snyder is? How many of you don't care? No, that's right. Duke Snyder was a center fielder for the Brooklyn Dodgers. And because I always wanted to become a baseball player and play center field, and I won't tell you, I won't bore you with all the times I used to spend playing ball, running and catching, running and catching. You see me now, you wouldn't believe that. I wear bifocals now and I see two balls when I try to catch one. But Duke Snyder batted left-handed, and he threw right-handed. And I studied all the moves of Duke Snyder so that I actually became a switch hitter. Because I wanted to be just like the Duke. To be able to bat from the left side. And I can remember as a young boy in Central America, listening, because 3 hours difference, it would just be 9 o'clock in Los Angeles, but it would be 12 o'clock where I was, and I would be straining to hear if the Duke would hit a home run. It was a thrilling experience. But I soon became a Christian. And one of the first persons that I came in contact with as a believer was John Wesley. And the man impressed me greatly with his devotion to God. I was moved by the sense of affection that John Wesley had. And I remember getting up at 4 o'clock in the mornings. 4 o'clock in the mornings. Because John Wesley got up at 4 o'clock in the mornings to read the Psalms. And I would spend the first 2 hours of every morning reading the Psalms. I didn't sing them because I didn't have the music to them. But reading the Psalms and bathing myself in it. And to read his biography. And to read everything I could get of John Wesley. And then one day, like a cloud bursting and God speaking to my heart, he said to me, "Thurton, you are not Wesley. You are Thurton. Your name is Winston Thurton." Now, I didn't have a conversation like that with God. But what was being impressed upon me, that God does not want me to be like anybody, even though he will use others in my life. He wanted me to be like his son. Now, how do I have this great privilege of becoming and behaving like God? St. Paul begins by telling us about the description. If you please, not so much the description, but he begins by telling us of what it is for the Christian's position. He describes for us what the Christian is really like. What is a Christian? Now, I know that most of us here tonight are believers, but I wonder if most of us who are believers enjoy our position as believers. Listen to what St. Paul says. "Our affiliation with God makes it absolutely and abundantly clear that our Christian position is one of being children or a child." Listen to how he begins. "Be imitators of God as dear children." The word children, my friends, means this: one who is begotten by another. One who has been produced by another. Who produced your life as a Christian? John 1:13 tells us, "We were not born by the will of men. We were not born by the will of any other person, but by the will of God." God actually performed all the intricacies of making us one of his own, and he has brought us into his family where we have become children. Now, what does it mean to be a child of God? Let me give you a very homey illustration. As I get into my study, I will tell my secretary, "Please hold all calls for me at this time. If there's an emergency, of course. But hold all calls. Except if my wife or my daughter calls. My door is always open to my family. They always have access to me. No one can stop them from coming to where I am. No one has that right, no one has that power, no one has that privilege." And as a child of God, my friends, the scripture says, you and I have exactly the same kind of access to God. No one can stop you from coming to Him. No one can prevent you from reaching Him. No one stands between you and God. No saint or sinner stands between you. You are a child and you have absolute access to God. A child has privileges that acquaintance do not have. A child, my friends, can go right into the heart of a father. He or she can put his head on a father's shoulder. He or she can put his or her chest on a father's bosom. A child can go right into the presence without any difficulty. Will you ever forget those pictures back in 1963? When little John F. Kennedy would walk by his father no matter what the situation was. Dignitaries beside him, soldiers marching beside him, but little John had the privilege of being beside his father. So it is, my friends, with us as God's children. We have access. That's our affiliation with God. I hope I don't bore you with this. Yeah, there was a time when I could talk about my daughter. She's too old now. She recognizes that. My son. And we have to do certain things with our son, just as God will do certain things with his children. And God is in the process of making us like the son, just as an earthly father should be in the process of making, giving to his son, giving to his children those virtues which will make them a replica of himself. That's what God is doing. This is why the Lord Jesus in Matthew 6 says, when you pray, say, God? No. When you pray, say, Our Father. Our Father. Do you know, my friends, that there's no place in the Old Testament where any saint, not even Abraham, could approach God as Father? Sure, God said, I am the father of this one and this one. But nobody was ever told to approach God as Father in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, God's children are told to go to God and to call Him Father. What a privilege. What a privilege. And if that, my friends, does not excite you, I don't know what will. I don't know what will. Because this has to do with what Paul will tell us later on. Only children can do what Paul will make the demands of later on. Only children can do that. No one else can. And so we see then our affiliation with God. We have become a part of the family of God. We are uniquely related. Our life has been produced by God. We are children. We are children. But then our text tells us also of God's affection for us. Be followers of God as dear children. Oh, that little word dear, D-E-A-R. When I was a kid, it meant expensive. But you know what it means, my friends? This word, as it's used here, this word means to be deeply cared for. We see the idea of this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Where we're told that we have been actually adopted into the family of God so that the Spirit who now resides in us causes us to say, Abba, Father. Abba. Now what is Abba? Abba is an Aramaic word which being translated means simply this. Daddy. Imagine. That God says He is so affectionate to us that we can relate to Him, not only as being a part of His family, but being my daddy. That's God's affection for us as dear children. That's how deep He loves us. That's the quality of love that God has for us. It is the same kind of love, my friends, the exact word that is used in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. When a voice came from heaven when our Lord was baptized, and the heavens parted, and a voice said, This is my dear son. How does God love you as his children? Precisely the same as he loves his own son. Precisely as he loves his son. Now, I can't say that I love you precisely the same way I love Christopher. I can't say I love you precisely the same way as I love Heather. I can't look at another man's wife and say I love you precisely the way I love my wife, Lois. But God says, I love you precisely the way I love my son. With the same dignity, with the same devotion, with the same care, with the same affection. God loves us dearly. What a privilege. My friends, this will help us when we're discouraged. When we feel that there's absolutely nothing that really matters in the world, it matters because God loves us dearly. And we need to pause at times to contemplate these great truths from Scripture so that we will not become discouraged with and in life. God dearly loves you. We love to sing it, do we not? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Does it make a difference to you that he does? Jesus loves me. Oh, my word, will I ever forget? Will I ever forget? when I proposed to my wife, I love to tease by saying, I proposed to her between Red Deer and Edmonton. Right in the middle of the road. So she said no, I'd let her walk home. But no, not at all. I remember giving her the only thing I could afford. The ring wasn't $1,000. It wasn't related to Zsa Zsa Gabor. It was an inexpensive ring. But I will never forget when she said, when I proposed to her there, and she said yes. Oh, my heart was beating before. What if she says no? But she said yes. And my friends, what a joy that was. Do you know that God loves you more than a husband can love a wife? Or a wife can love a husband? He loves you dearly. He loves you as a tender little one. He loves you with all the affection that was poured upon his son. That's how God loves you. Does it make a difference to you tonight? And this is why St. Paul is going to go now and say, as dear children, children who are in love with their father, children who are knowledgeable of their father, as you know your father now, listen to what St. Paul says the Christian privilege is. What is a privilege? Imitate God. Imitate God. Now, isn't that a heavy for you? To imitate God? Now, theologians tell us, my friends, that there are two kinds of virtues or characteristics about God. There is the one kind that are not transferable at all. God is omnipresent. We can never be that. God is omniscient. We can never know that. God is omnipotent. We can never be that. But there are things about God that can be transferred to you and to me. And St. Paul is saying, as you have been in close confines with your father, as you have access to your father, as you spend time with your father, now imitate your father. Imitate him. What does it mean to imitate? First of all, my friends, it means to mimic. Mimic. That's what the word means, following. To mimic. You know what it is to mimic. I see some kids doing it when I'm leading singing up here. I'm leading and I see kids going this way at the back there. Mimicking. Wonderful word. But you know what that comes from, my friends? It speaks of close association. It speaks of knowledge. It speaks of being in a close confine with someone else so that you can see what that person is like. And having seen what that person is like, there are certain things you begin to practice because he does them. Because he's like that. Our Lord Jesus Christ made the same demands upon his disciples in Matthew 5:48. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now let me suggest immediately, my friends, mimicking does not mean you become God. It means that you begin to express characteristics of God, those virtues that are transferable. The non-transferable belongs to him. The transferable he has shared with us. Now our text tells us some of the virtues that we can mimic God with. Some of the things we can do that will make us behave precisely like God. What an order. There are three number. There are a lot more. That's three I've taken for tonight. We are to minister like God. First of all, we're told in Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it might give grace to those who hear. The first thing, my friends, we mimic about God is that God is a communicating God. And you go back, my friends, to Genesis 1 and 28, and the first thing we read after God created Adam and Eve, God said to them. God communicates. God speaks to the other. He speaks within the confines of the triune God. The Father speaks to the Son. The Son speaks to the Father. The Spirit speaks to the Son. The Spirit speaks to the Father. The Father speaks to the Spirit. There is communication in the triune God. But not only that, God speaks to his creatures. God spoke to Adam and Eve. He communicated with them. And Paul is saying, as we communicate with one another, we should communicate as God communicates, because that he does. Now, let me tell you why I chose that one. I want you to do something tonight for me. I've never done this before in my life. You will forgive me. At the end of this service, my friends, I want to see some of the young people coming up and greeting some of the older people. I want to see some of the older people going over to the young people and communicating with them. Listen, God, the Creator, God, the Omniscient One, God, the All-Powerful One, this God who needs nothing, comes to Adam and Eve and communicates with them. If God can communicate with his creatures, my friends, can we not communicate with one another? Imitate God in communication. Go over and say hello. Reach out to a young person. A young person, reach out to an old person. I'll tell you why I'm saying that. Because it has been my observation, my friends, that really after the service, the young people get by themselves. The older people get by themselves. The young adults get by themselves. Let us be a family. We belong to God's family. Let us communicate. God is a communicating God. I'm not saying to behave like a young person. If you're older, like me. I think I saw an old gentleman driving a Ferrari the other day, and my daughter said, there's an old man with an age crisis or something of that nature. No, I'm not telling you to behave like a young person if you're older. I'm saying to communicate with them. Let them know that you're praying for them. Let them feel free to come to you and to share with you burdens that they have. This is what God did with Adam and Eve. He communicated with them. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Communicate, because God communicates, and thereby imitate God. Behave like God in communication. That's the first one. Secondly, behave like God in your concern for others. In your concern for others. I see this.